Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, and John, chapter 8, verse 32. Again, that is 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, and John, chapter 8, verse 32. Hear the word of the Lord. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have you ever been in a situation where you know you should do something, but you end up doing the opposite? Like when you're driving and someone cuts you off and you know you should just let it slide and go about your merry way. But instead, you say to yourself, oh no, you didn't just do that, as you end up chasing down the person in a mad rage. Or you are having a conversation with a family member and you can sense that based on the topic brought up, that person is now getting angry and is now raising their voice at you. And you know that you should de-escalate the situation and keep a calm tone of voice, but instead you yell just as loud, if not even louder, at them. You didn't intend at all to have a fight, but now it's a full-blown argument. Or you tell yourself, I am not going to worry today, because you know that it's a waste of time and it just puts you in a mood that is just no fun to be around, and then something happens in your day that you didn't expect, and now you are going down rabbit trails of what-if scenarios as you worry, and it's now all that worry is going through the roof as you become frantic and try to figure out what to do. Or you know you should tell the truth and you should be honest with those around you, but then you end up exaggerating and lying in order to impress those around you. Or you know you need to lose weight and eat healthier, but you find yourself defaulting to eating junk when you get home or in front of the TV. Or you have told yourself that I'm going to quit. No more porn, no more smoking, no more drinking, no more drugs. I'm going to be clean. But then, those are the first things that you go to as soon as you're stressed out. It was the universal struggle that we read about in Scripture. In fact, Paul, a follower of Jesus, who we read about in the New Testament of the Bible, talked about the same struggle when he said, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. See, when we just try to change with willpower or promises, that is known as behavior modification. And it doesn't work, because in the long run, all you are really doing is addressing the symptoms and not the root to the problem. Because it is the root that produces the behavior that we see in us. You know, my first job was when I was in middle school, working for Mr. Jameson, who was an elderly man who owned a rooming house. My job was to help clean out the rooms, mow the lawn, and do whatever needed to be done around the place. And I remember that there was one time I was working during the summer, and Mr. Jameson wanted me to pick out all the weeds in the backyard. He gave me a pad to kneel on and a small spade and went about showing me what to do. But this is what he said. He said, Edwin, you can't pull these weeds up by the leaves. You have to get the root and all of it, or else it will grow right back. So in order to actually change and change for good, we need to get to the root of why we behave the way that we do. And that's because of our flawed thinking. We learned last week that the more often we think a thought, whether it is true or not, the more we will continue to think that way again and again. When we think a thought, we create what is known as neural pathways in our brain, and we have billions of them. And when we think about certain things, every time we think about them, science actually shows us that it strengthens and solidifies these pathways so that they become our default way of thinking. So the things that we see in culture or with the people around us, because we see and think about these things so often, we end up mimicking this same kind of thinking and behavior, and that now becomes our default. And this starts when we are very young. So when a little baby smiles and when mama returns the smile and hugs the baby and speaks words of affirmation to the baby, a neural pathway is created in the baby's brain that says that smiling is good. When the child gets too close to a hot stove and touches the hot stove and feels the pain of being burned, a neural pathway is created that says, don't touch the stove. When the baby cries, and every time it cries, the parent picks them up and gives them what they want, the baby thinks that, oh, crying is good because every time I cry, I get what I want. That even applies to teenagers and adults. If a teenager whines and complains and the parent can't say no and gives them whatever they want in order to quiet them up, the teenager thinks that complaining and whining gets me what I want. If a coworker gets angry, complains, and is lazy or makes unreasonable demands and there is no opposition from anyone in the office, then that coworker thinks that they can just continue to get angry, complain, be lazy, and make demands in order to get what they want. When we see how our parents talk with each other with yelling and fighting and giving each other this silent treatment, we think that yelling and fighting is okay in order to get what we want. And when we don't get what we want, we too can give others the silent treatment. When we see our friends go to pornography or drinking or drugs to get relief, we start to think that we can go to pornography or drugs or drinking or something else to get relief. And the things that we pick up from the environment around us throughout our life creates new neural pathways that contribute to our default thinking. And these neural pathways are like when you start walking again and again and again on a lawn that has fresh green grass, it starts to create a footpath that ends up turning the grass on the path brown and eventually killing it. So these neural paths are being created in our brain daily based on what we believe and what we think on. The more we think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought again. So when paths are created based on truth, then that's a good thing because it leads us into healthy, positive thinking. But the bad news is the opposite is also true. Meaning if we continually think about lies and believe such lies, it will lead us to unhealthy, negative thinking that affects our lives negatively. Because how we think matters, and how we think will determine the kind of life and even the quality of life that we live. That is why Paul said, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Said another way, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Paul is reminding us that there is a way and a pattern of how the world functions that is sinful. And because we live in this world, we can easily mimic the same sinful patterns of the culture. And Paul uses the word renew, meaning to refresh and to give a new appearance to. So the renewing of our minds is something that we do over and over and over again with God as we now move away from how the culture thinks and move towards thinking like how God thinks. You know, we're in a new sermon series called Winning the War in Your Mind. Change your thinking, change your life, inspired by the book by Pastor Craig Rochelle, because we all have unhealthy thought patterns of self-doubt and negative thinking that affects us, our outlook on life, how we treat people, and even how we view God. And why is this important to address? Well, because our thoughts are powerful. They can change our perspective, impact our decisions, and influence our habits. Because we believe that when you can change your thinking, God can change your life. However, I do want to note and be clear that there are more serious mental health conditions like depression and anxiety that are caused by different things, including genetics, chemical imbalance in the brain, traumatic situations, which can be treated by seeing a medical professional and with proper medication. Such medication can help the person work with controlling their thoughts. So it's important to take care of both our biological and our spiritual needs. And this series will actually help us to specifically address what we can do to care for the spiritual aspect of our lives, which influence all the other areas of our lives. So in order to rewire these neural pathways in our minds, it means that with God's help, we have to renew our minds. Stay off the old paths and let the new rewiring begin in our minds as we start forging new neural pathways in our brains based on God's truth, which ultimately sets us free. That is why, for every believer, this battleground is fought in the mind. Do I want to be conformed into the pattern of this world, meaning think and function the way that the culture and the world does? Or do I want to be transformed into the likeness of Christ through the renewing of my mind? And this foundation of thinking is based on what God's word says, which is true. So it is by knowing God's word and having a depth of relationship with God that we are now transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we must understand that not only are we fighting the sin that is in us that makes us go the opposite of what God wants, not only are we fighting the culture that's trying to conform us into its image that goes against what God wants, but we also have an enemy that wants to destroy us. Paul said, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. A stronghold is a wrong pattern of thinking. So every neural pathway that was created based on lies becomes a stronghold in our minds. Such strongholds keep us being prisoners to lies and flawed thinking, which prevents us from believing what God says and ultimately becoming the people that we were meant to be. There is a popular story about a man who was passing by some elephants when he noticed and became confused by the fact that these strong giant animals were being held solely by a small rope tied onto their front leg that was anchored to a thin stick. There was no fence, there's no chains, no cages holding them. It was obvious that with the strength of the animals, they could at any time break away from this little rope that was tied to them. But for some reason, they didn't. The man asked the trainer why the elephants were just standing there and not trying to break away. And the trainer said, well, when the elephants are very young and much smaller, we use the same size rope to tie them. And at that age, it's enough to hold them. As they grow up, they are conditioned to believe that they cannot break away. They believe the rope can still hold them, so they never try to break free. The man was amazed. These animals could at any time break free from their bonds, but because they believed they couldn't, they were stuck right where they were. So Satan creates strongholds of lies from these neural pathways that have stayed with us in our minds over the years that we end up believing in and that hold us captive. Strongholds like, you will never change. You are never good enough. God isn't real. He doesn't ever care about you. You will always be where you are for the rest of your life. No one will ever love you. God definitely can't heal you. You will always be fearful. You will always be stuck in that addiction. You failed before and you will fail again. In fact, there is no hope for you. And these lies have become strongholds that we still live out and we still believe, causing us to view ourselves as less than and see the world around us with these broken lenses. And so Paul talks about these lies as being like strongholds, like a fortress with thick walls that are absolutely impenetrable. And if our lives do follow the direction of our greatest thoughts, that is why last week we encouraged everyone here to take a thought inventory. That way you can know where your thoughts are actually taking you. Are they thoughts towards peace or worry? Thoughts towards positive things or negative things? Thoughts towards what is eternal or what is worldly and temporal? Then the second thing we encouraged everyone to do last week was to identify what is the biggest mental stronghold that's holding you back. What lie are you believing that keeps tripping you up? What lie are you believing that is preventing you from experiencing the life that God intended for you? Well, this week we're going to learn just how we can address those strongholds. Paul says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This means that every thought that crosses our mind, we have to examine each thought under the lens of Jesus. So does this thought honor God or dishonor him? Does this thought build us up to be more like Christ, or does it tear us down? Is this thought true, or is it a lie? According to Newsweek magazine, the average person will typically have more than 6,000 thoughts in a single day. However, studies shared on Medium magazine have estimated that the average person has around 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts per day, translating to roughly 35 to 48 thoughts per minute. So whether it is 6,000 or 70,000, that is a lot of thoughts. But here's the thing. According to the National Science Foundation, 80% of all thoughts are negative, and 95% of all thoughts are repetitive. So if 80% of those thoughts are negative, tear us down and don't honor God, then if we dwell upon those negative thoughts, won't that somehow negatively affect us? Which means that if negative thoughts are repetitive, then the reality is that we are meditating on lies that end up creating paths in our brain that lead us away from God and His best, and that ultimately discourage us and cripple us. Which also means that just because we are thinking about a thought, it may not necessarily mean that that thought is true. So Paul is saying that we get to check every single thought and ask God, God, should I be thinking about this right now? And this isn't a passive, hey, should I be thinking about this? But it's a warfare against sin and Satan. Just like when we channel surf on our TV looking for a show to watch, we get to decide which channel we stay on and which one we pass on. And with our thoughts, we get to decide which thoughts are based on God's truth that we get to dwell on and meditate on, and which ones are not, that we get to pass on. So if it is based on what God says, then think on those thoughts. And if it isn't, then change the channel, discard the thought, and think on the truth. Because when we choose to purposefully partner with God so that our mind can be transformed, His truth becomes the medicine that replaces the lie that we have been believing, and it heals our mind. Jesus Himself said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And last week we learned that that truth here is a person. That truth is Jesus, who is the only one who can ultimately set us free. So how do we do this? How do we renew our minds? Training your mind is very similar to training your body. See, when you train your body, people think that it's just about exercise, you know, strength training with weights, doing cardio, ab workouts. And yes, all those things are important, including taking breaks, getting proper rest, and getting enough sleep. But one key component to getting in shape and getting stronger is also diet. It is what you're choosing to put into your body. Because a bad diet will always undo a great workout and undo whatever fitness goals you are trying to accomplish. And this relates to the mind. Because it is not just being conscious of how we have been thinking, but also what we allow into our mind. This is the media that we choose to consume. It is what we read and what we listen to. Because such things that we allow into our mind can either train our minds to continue to believe in the lies that we already believe, or we can train our minds to believe in the truth. That is why all this is a battle, but it is a battle that we can win with God's truth. And we are more susceptible to lies when we don't know the truth of God's word. But with His word, the lies that we believe actually start to lose their power. So we asked you, what is the biggest mental stronghold that's holding you back? Once you know that answer, it is then naming the truth that demolishes that stronghold. So it's capturing and naming the lie, then it's replacing it with the dunamis power of God's truth. And then it is declaring that truth over us. Doing this allows the power of God to now demolish that stronghold as we make that destructive thought obedient to Christ. So we're going to write down the truth that combats the lie, Then we're going to meditate and think about that truth. And as we think on that truth, we are going to speak it out loud so that we can hear that truth and remember that truth so that eventually we can believe that truth. So we're going to write it, think about it, speak it, and believe it. So this is a lie. I will always be alone for the rest of my life. This is the truth. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the declaration based on God's truth that you're going to speak back to you. God loves me and he will always be with me, so I'm never alone. This is a lie. I am ugly. This is the truth. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. This is the declaration based on God's truth. God tells me that I'm uniquely created. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I am His. This is a lie. I will only feel happy when I get the status, the possessions, and the praise from others. This is the truth. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. This is the declaration based on God's truth. I can be content in every circumstance because whatever I don't have, I do have in Jesus. I will celebrate and rejoice that I have a provider who loves me and gives me all that I need. This is a lie. I need that dessert or that cigarette or that drink or that drug or that porn to calm me down, to de-stress and give me peace. This is the truth. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And this is the declaration based on God's truth. Whenever I'm stressed, I will go to God to cast my cares on Him, and He will comfort me. He is my refuge and my strength and ever-present help whenever I am in trouble. So it's capturing and naming the lie. Then it's replacing it with God's truth as we write it down and start to think about it. Then it is speaking and declaring that truth over us as we allow the power of God to demolish that stronghold and allow Him and His truth to give us freedom as we begin to believe the truth. This is not something that you do just once, but it's something that you practice and you do it again and again and again and again. And we're going to write it, think about it, speak it, and believe it. What are we gonna do? We're gonna write it, we're gonna think about it, we're gonna speak it, and we are going to believe it. And this means that any thought that crosses your mind, check it at the door of Christ. If it is aligned with what God says, then think on it. But if it isn't, don't waste your time and cast it out. Why think about lies? Remember, not every thought that crosses our mind is true. And if we can control what we think about, then let's spend time thinking about things that build us up and not tear us down. That is why, in order to know God's truth, you must first get to know God. And you get to know God by spending time with Him and by reading His Word, meaning the Bible back to us. These words are trustworthy and true, and these words can free us from the destructive thinking that has kept us in bondage. Because once you know the truth will set you free. So we're going to write it, think about it, speak it, and believe it. We're going to write it, think about it, speak it, and believe it. Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says to think about what is true. And it is when we think about what is true that what happens now? Peace comes. When we think about what is not true, turmoil and worry always comes. That is why if you have been believing a lie for 10, 15, 20 years, know that it will take a while to forge a new pathway in your brain based on God's truth so that the old one eventually goes away. Ask God to help focus your mind on what is true, what is good, and what is pure. It takes practice, but it can be done. That is why this is an encouragement for you to spend even more time with God than you are already doing, so that His words and His truth can start to be heard, and so that His words and His truth can change you. This is also why being in community with other believers is so crucial. You cannot stay isolated and win this war. Because even though you may be new to God's truth, you can trust these other people to now come alongside you and speak God's truth into your life and to reveal your blind spots and even the lies that you may still be believing. And that's what the church is. It's the people. It's the people of God coming together to become and learn more about God. Last week, I shared that my biggest mental stronghold was that I'll never be good enough. Growing up in the household that I grew up in, nothing was good enough, and it always needed to be better. And even though my parents communicated their love for me by providing for me materially and educationally, most times love was expressed only when I performed well in school or if I did what I was supposed to do. And if I didn't meet expectations, then it resulted in yelling or disappointment or silent treatments and condemnation. So to avoid the yelling and to gain love, I had to work extra, extra hard in order to produce and to perform well. And as a result, I became a workaholic, striving only for perfection with everything that I did, because that was my way of gaining love and approval from others and quieting the potential criticisms. And when you work hard and are good at working hard, you start to truly believe that your value only comes from your performance and from what you can produce. But when you function like that, you are never ever secure and you are never ever content. From the eyes of everyone looking in, I was successful, but I also realized that internally, I was joyless, irritable, angry, and highly critical of myself and others when things didn't turn out the way that I envisioned. I was in reality believing the lie that only when things are perfect and successful will I be good enough to be loved. However, God's truth that has set me free from from all these things are his words. His words that are spoken back to me. And what were his words? This is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. The declaration that I wrote down and thought about, that I spoke and have been believing, is that I am loved because I am a child of God. He is already pleased with me. His love for me is not dependent on what I do or what I say or how I perform. God simply loves me for who I am because he created me the way that I am, loved by him. And because of this truth, I can live out of that love that I already have from him and not live in a way where I have to try to perform or gain love from others. So I can give my best and know that I'm loved. And even when I fail, I know that I'm loved. I know I can't do everything, and I know I will fail people. But God is sufficient, and his power will be made perfect in my weakness. And because of that, I know I am loved, and I know that I am enough in him. In the early days, I would read this daily, this declaration daily, and even multiple times in a day. But now, not so much, because I know God's love for me. I'm not that guy anymore. I am a new creation in him. And doing all this has forged new neural pathways and buried the old lies that I used to believe. So I want to declare some of God's truths over you. Know that you are loved by God. Know that God has his love for you. And that love is not dependent on what you do or what you say or even how you perform. God simply loves you for who you are because he created you the way that you are, loved by him. Know that because you have a relationship with him, you are forgiven, and that you will become the person that he created and meant for you to be. You will overcome and you will prosper because God is with you. So there is nothing to be afraid of because your heavenly Father will be with you wherever you go. I want you to imagine. Imagine if we knew these truths for ourselves and we thought about these things for ourselves. How would that change the way that you see yourself? How would it change the way you see others and even see God or even see your circumstances? What obstacles and strongholds would fall down, and how would you see God moving in, through, and around you? How would your world change, and how would the world around you change with this perspective? So spend time with God, and it is only when you develop a deep relationship with God that you will know his truth and experience his dunamis power in your life as you are freed from the power of destructive thinking. And as you practice identifying the lies and combating it with his truth, write it, think about it, speak it, and believe it as you are renewed and transformed by God and his truth. Let me pray for us. God, we want every aspect of our life to be honoring to you. And many times our thoughts get set on things that don't honor you, that are far from you. Help us each day to renew our mind and to replace these negative and destructive thoughts with those that are good and pleasing and true and that come from you. Help us to focus on your truth every single moment, and help us to forge these new neural pathways as we have a perspective that is like yours, as we have an outlook on life that is like yours. And so God, change us, mold us, transform us. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And if that is what you want, I want to ask right now to invite Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.